These are fun, off-the-cuff discussions on movies and streaming series, both new and old.
Together, we'll attempt to bridge the gap between Hollywood industry insider and the casual viewer.
This is Alec.
And I'm Ben.
And you're listening to the Cinema A to B podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Cinema A to B. Alec, today we're going to continue our discussion on Winning Time. This is season two of Winning Time. We've already done season one. We did kind of a, if I recall, we did kind of a spoiler light talk on season one. And I don't know that I'm going to hold us to that necessarily for season two. Why don't you kick us off, Alec, on the second season of Winning Time with a huge caveat.
Yeah. Well, and let's be honest. We can kind of spoil it because it's already been spoiled because it happened 40 years ago. at this point, I mean, like, it's not like they're changing what happened in the Lakers dynasty. They're following along and just dramatizing it. So a lot of the big points of the season have already been, you know, they've been spoiled, so you should know. Yeah. And there's a reason why they were called the show, you know, Showtime era of the Lakers, you know, like all this kind of stuff. So season two, I had problems with it. Like, and I didn't like it as much as season one. I really enjoyed season one a lot. I think some of it was because I felt some things were very rushed. And I think a lot of that was because they were told that they were expecting four or five seasons and they were told, hey, you're done after season two. So they had to wrap a lot of story up in and also leave a lot of it to basically exposition text at the end of the show, too. And you miss out on a lot of things. And so I feel there were some time jumps that obviously felt forced that I really didn't like, that I would have liked to stay in it. You've got characters who end up having issues and going back and forth where you miss some of the inciting conflict or you miss some of that buildup and it goes from like 0 to 60, or they do the opposite of where they reconcile in between the years that you would kind of skip over. And so it didn't hit. And also, I've talked about this before, this felt much more like a basketball show as opposed to the behind the scenes. Like there's a lot more court stuff, a lot more focus of what's happening on the court than what season one was. Like obviously season one focused a lot on that, but it was a lot more of like, you know, following bus and buying it and make sure it has the money and getting the players and the coaches and all that drama. Whereas this was really like, hey, we want to beat the Celtics, you know, kind of a thing, or like, when do we get to play the Celtics and win kind of a situation. I still wasn't a huge fan of the changing of the different cameras. Like they obviously did it less because we're farther into the future where, you know, but you didn't have all the different types, but I still felt it was an artistic choice and not really helped the narrative, and I felt it was a lesson here, but all right, you can talk now. Sorry.
This is sort of a lesson to me of like what could have been. Not only do we not get season three or four or five, we didn't even get a full season. No. It's seven episodes. Season one was 10. I'm super frustrated with Max because they basically create self-fulfilling prophecies when they do this with viewers, because viewers are like, oh, I'm not going to tune into that show, that new show, because it only lasts a season or two anyway. Right.
And then
that's what they do. And this is not the first time that Max has done this. It just had a hard time finding an audience. And I go back to, and I think I brought it up in season when we discussed season one, and season one is excellent. This is good.
Yeah.
And it gets to areas where I think it's very good, but I don't think it ever becomes excellent anymore. The problem is that they waited too long to do this, to produce this show. We're too far removed as a viewership from the Showtime era. Frankly, now, like, we're kind of on the outer edges of like anything to do with like the Bulls, which is why they had to get that documentary made on Jordan, you know, The Last Dance.
Yep.
You get kids these days that think LeBron's better than Michael Jordan, which is just a bunch of flipping nonsense.
Yep.
I'm going to say it on our podcast. It's absolute nonsense because it didn't grow up watching Michael Jordan. It's the same challenge with this. Like, I don't know who the audience for this is outside of, I guess, you and me and maybe a slightly older demographic. But a lot of the older demographic doesn't subscribe to Max. Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, no wonder they couldn't find an audience. But I think 10 years ago, they probably would have.
You got to think, I mean, we're in the kind of the age of the spendiest category of what they're really making show a lot of times making shows for, like with Max and stuff. But we were children, like not even children, we were babies when this kind of this era was really happening. Like we weren't watching sports. Like I grew up with Jordan. I knew of Johnson and like kind of watched him, but like by the time I was actually really watching basketball, he was not playing anymore.
The first thing I remember with Magic Johnson was when he had a public presser to say that he was HIV positive.
Yep.
That's my first memory of the man. And unfortunately, there's a lot of potential cool drama surrounding that whole thing that they open the series with, where he's in the doctor's office. Mm-hmm. And because of the rush and no more seasons, they weren't even able to start getting into that narrative and wrapping it up. Mm-hmm. About how he swam in a bunch of money and got rid of HIV.
Swam in a bunch of money.
I mean, straight up Scrooge McDuck style.
He just dived into the bank.
Dove in the gold, got rid of the virus. No, I'm glad he's not.
Yeah.
So the last time I read was he was no longer even, like the last time he, and I think he's periodically tested, that he was no longer even HIV positive at all.
Mm, yeah.
Because the cocktail of stuff that he was able to take got rid of it. But that was going to be a really cool, like, narrative is... Because at first the league's like, no, you can't play, because there were still concerns about how it's transmitted. And then the league was like, no, but you can. And I remember he came back for like the 91 or 92 All-Star game. Mm-hmm. If the series would have gone along enough, you would have been able to see Jordan playing the depleted Lakers in the 91 finals. Mm-hmm. That was kind of the official passing of the torch. Yeah, you get all this really brilliant era of NBA that just gets, I just broke my heart watching the episode 7 and the credits start rolling and they're just like, and the Celtics won this year and then the next year the Lakers went. I'm just like, oh my God.
And yeah, it didn't
feel. This is so gross. Like such a cool era of NBA just relegated to like 90s movie style closure, right? Like the typical 90s, like teen drama or whatever. It's just text superimposed. Like Johnny went on to a career in law enforcement and Susie became a lawyer. And that's
Ted
what I got
went to jail.
Yeah. And that's what we got, because what else were they going to give us?
Yeah. And I mean, and obviously I don't blame McKay for this at all. Like, I don't think that was his choice. I think this was like, and honestly, I don't even think they probably were told ahead of time. It was probably like halfway through shooting. Like, by the way, we're not renewing you for season 3. And they're like, oh, we gotta wrap this up.
You can tell when they were notified, because I felt like they shot a lot of this fairly chronologically. It feels like somewhere around episode 4 or 5 is you can tell when they were told this is it. And so, because things take a huge jump forward.
Yeah.
And they start wrapping stuff up with Magic and Cookie to a certain extent. I mean, that was going to be, if this show went 5 seasons, they weren't going to get married till season 5.
Yeah.
Because they didn't marry till 91. And they went through their ups and downs. I think they lived together, but I mean, there were ups and downs there. There were all sorts of potential drama.
Well,
go ahead. And then I'm going to get to the big thing that we miss by not getting additional seasons.
What's that?
The friendship, the lifelong freaking friendship between Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, his hated, heated rival. Mm-hmm. I mean, they become, they're not like best buds necessarily, but they become very tight. Mm-hmm. They become more than just competitors. Like off the floor, there is a friendship forged between them, and we don't get it. We don't get to see that evolution at all. And it was like, it made me sick to my stomach. I was like, please, can somebody pick this up? Apparently, Amazon's got more money than they know what to do with, since they've just greenlit season 3 of The Rings of Power before season 2 is
even out,
been released, because they're just in it for so much money. Can't Bezos make a phone call and we get this thing picked back up? Because then you can just lop off the end of that season set, that episode 7 nonsense with, and this is what happened.
But see, like, this is one of the things that we talked about when we talked about season 1 of, like, yeah, this is about the Showtime era. But the great thing is the show is not called Showtime. It's just called Winning Time. And so, you know, you can have this. Let's follow Magic Johnson, but then we can time skip to like the Kobe, you know, era of the Lakers as well. And you can kind of see that, and we can see, oh my goodness, what's Jeannie kind of her slow takeover of, of the Lakers, of the, you know, of all this too, and just kind of see all of those things behind the scenes of what's happening and how they grow this, how they go from, you know, kind of a deluge of losses to then getting Shaq and getting Kobe and starting their run again. And then of course you can end it all with the, what, 08 Celtics or 09 Celtics. And
they had a backs and forth in the late 2000s, some great series with Paul Pierce and
Ray Allen. And my
I don't know if that's as intriguing as this era. I did hear rumblings when this was in season one, and the response was pretty positive of that they were thinking about taking it to Shaq Kobe era. By the way, the Lakers have to be the most dysfunctional, like high success franchise in any sport that I know of.
Yeah.
Like that front office is still a dumpster fire. LeBron's the most stable thing in the Lakers organization right now.
That's like a scary thought.
He's the one that's like actually got his act together. He's there because his post-basketball career is going to be out there. So, No, the Lakers are just, they're a hot mess that wins titles.
It sounds like LA in a lot. You know, a lot. LA's a hot mess that just kind of does things. A lot of times it awards itself its own trophies, you know, but hey.
Jerry Buss was like onto something, realizing that they had to be more than just a successful basketball team in Los Angeles to be successful. Like that town demands that you can't just be good. You got to look good when you're doing it. Mm-hmm. That goes for, that's everything. That's Lakers. That's Dodgers. When USC was really good with Pete Carroll, like they didn't just win. They had the pizzazz and the flash with Reggie Bush, and Pete Carroll was super cool, you know, on the sideline, and Will Ferrell's out there. And yeah, you can't just be, you can't do like the Celtic thing and just be like really good workman, like blue, you know, blue collar. You always got to have the glitz when you're in LA. It's just that kind of town. It's Hollywood.
I do like the owner of the Celtics, kind of what he says at the end when he and Buss are talking. I think it was like the last episode or the second to last episode, and they're talking, and like he goes, you know, what happens when you die or whatever to the Celtics coach? Yeah. And he's just like, I built this to be bigger than me. I built this to last, kind of a thing. And, you know, obviously they had their downturns, but the Celtics are still a thing. Like the Celtics still win titles.
Yeah, I mean, to an extent. I mean, by the way, was it Michael Chiklis?
Oh,
that plays Red Auerbach. Yeah. He's great as Auerbach. Like my favorite depictions are probably him as Red, and then Brody as Pat Riley.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And really, Pat Riley should have been the center point of season two, because he's like the only guy that you're really rooting for. Mm-hmm. Like I was kind of I was rooting for Jerry Buss and Magic in season one, but then the flaws in their characters, like real flaws.
Yeah.
Start to become so overwhelming in season two that I'm just kind of like, I'm done rooting for you. You're like, you're not very likable. Neither of them were very likable. Magic was just doing the same old thing. And the one I was drawn to was Adrian Brody as Riley, but they spent way too much time with him and Westfall.
Jason Siegel. Yeah.
With Siegel's incredible as Westfall, like just wanted to punch him right in the nose. Like it was just like, Siegel just was acting his butt off in that role, was just tremendous. Yeah, absolutely tremendous performance. But they spent too much time with them like butting heads. Like most of season two was just supposed to be the lead up to that next finals. And
Pat Riley taking over. But
Yep.
I agree. I think it would have been much more interesting because, again, that keeps you, at least for me, that keeps you off the court and much more interested in the happenings behind it, which I feel like for me is far more interesting. And so much more so since this is not even fictional, like this is literally, we know the outcome of these seasons. I mean, I can go on Wikipedia, I can go on ESPN or whatever and literally tell you, okay, who, like, how far did they get? When did they lose? Did they win the national title? Like all this stuff. And so it's kind of those, that relationships, these characters, the overcoming the kind of back office crazy to get to that winning team. That makes it interesting to me. So,
yeah.
And Yeah, they just, I don't knock the people who worked on it. I don't think it was the writer's fault. I don't think it was McKay's fault. This is completely Max going and Warner Brothers going, we don't want to spend any more money on it.
This is all fallout from that big merger of the Warner Discovery thing that's just been a hot mess.
Yep.
Since it was implemented. It's just wrecking everything.
Well, and they're already on notice because they keep pulling their own streaming stuff too. Like not even like licensed content. Like they're pulling their own content from, you know, from their service. And it's, you know, which obviously in terms of service they can do, but not a good look, not fun, not great. Like, I mean, when Westworld disappeared, it was like, wait, what?
It'll probably show back up because they've sold the streaming rights to try to cover their books because they're just in
so much debt.
Mountains of debt. Yeah. This stream, by the way, this streaming party is over. I mean, it's over. Like, we're still going to get shows, but these blank checks that these streamers were writing, it's done.
And I think they've learned that quantity is not the answer, that they will have a lot of unwatched shows or partially watched shows out there that are not good, and that people will just cram and watch the same, you know, five or six shows altogether because they're interested in them. And I think I can see this now because you're getting like a lot of people saw Netflix and licensed their content to Netflix, but then saw what they were doing and were like, you know what, we could be a streamer too. And they're realizing that that's a whole lot of work. There's a whole lot of extra stuff that goes into play there. You know what? Let's just take the L on our streaming service. Let's just license our content and just make money off of that without having to do anything. You know, we just say, hey, Netflix, you host the video. You deal with all the complaints when it doesn't work or whatever. And you just pay us a nice hefty fee so you can put our shows up on your service.
Well, did you see where Disney selected Sony to do all of their physical media creation?
Yeah.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah. Which I'm happy that at least they're not stopping. Because obviously we've had this conversation. I'm still huge and buying Blu-rays and physical media.
Well, and people were freaking out because Disney controls the Fox library. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
The 20th Century Fox library. So,
there's a lot of content.
It's a ton of stuff. Yeah. And there's apparently that one of the other studios is sitting on just sitting on 4K restorations of stuff that they had no intention of releasing. And I think Disney was one of them, but I think this is supposed to alleviate that. I think Sony's going to handle they're ready. The files are ready to go. They just got to be put to UHD discs. So
then people got to buy them. Continue to show interest that, I mean, it still makes money. Like Blu-rays still make good money every year. DVDs, well, actually,
especially if they're Oppenheimer. But
yeah, oh my goodness.
But yeah, this show, unfortunately, is just going to be in another few years. Is to be basically relegated to the dustbin because it's one really good season, and then it's this partial thing that is kind of hit and miss in season two, and then just a Cliff Notes thing at the end.
Yeah,
super disappointing.
If they release it at all, I mean, it just may just go the way of the.
Yeah. Cause the Did a season one get a Blu-ray?
Not that I'm aware of.
We may never see this thing again.
Oh no. Yeah. First it was released on October 4th, 2022.
Okay.
Season one. Ooh, I may need to get that then.
I do like the depiction of getting more information on the backstory of Larry Bird too. That was cool. But again, I'm getting
snippets.
I'm getting snippets of what's supposed to lead me down the journey of these two kind of setting their differences aside and becoming friends off the court in the midst of a heated rivalry, or at least maybe after it.
Yeah.
Cause they both had one thing in common. Well, more than one thing in common. I mean, they played in the national championship against each other and then they play all these games, but they both had like physical issues that largely shortened their careers. Mm-hmm. Magic's knees were just notoriously bad. I don't think that'd be the case now. I think he would, with surgery and stuff now, I think he would have. And then Burge has played a style of basketball that just is destructive to your body and had back problems in the late stage of his. Go back and watch. Larry Bird didn't play that long.
No.
By the early 90s, his body was toast. I mean, he was. he was laying down on his stomach during practices. He couldn't sit down when he wasn't playing during practices for the Dream Team in the 92 games in Barcelona. He was in such pain in his low back. I'm assuming degenerative discs and stuff like that, but they both kind of dealt with that with their career. And so they both had to play that style of basketball that's like less physically, like less dependent on athleticism, basically outsmart everybody. It's a shame we didn't get the rest of the story because it is compelling stuff, but
it is.
I don't know. I can cross my fingers and hope maybe somebody, I don't see why anybody would take a risk. It was an expensive show to produce. So,
and honestly, at this point, like you would have to go back and kind of change some things about season two to kind of really get it back up and running.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably,
so
yeah.
Yeah, it's. I think this one's dead. I don't think this gets revived. I think we've got the full series here, and the question is whether or not even season two gets released on DVD.
I doubt it.
I mean, I still. Well, remember that one show that when HBO did about the horse racing that
Luck.
Yeah, that got a DVD release, but that was also not the height of DVD, but like streaming really wasn't a thing at that point. So
that show was amazing. Or at least the first season.
Yeah. Well, we only had one season. So,
didn't they do? No, nope. That was it.
That was it.
They had all those horses die.
Yeah.
While they were filming and
No.
Yeah. The horses didn't just die. They basically broke their legs and then they were.
That was Michael Mann's return to TV as well.
Oh, so that was so good. And Dustin Hoffman was like killer in that. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. It was a good
show. I don't know that we'll do a podcast episode on Luck, but
no.
For our listeners, like if, I mean, can you even find it? Is it still on Max?
No, it's, they took, actually it may be back on Max. It wasn't for the longest time. So I found it on DVD, and got it. Because I was like, I want to keep this for posterity, but I think it is back on Max. I think you can find
Luck,
it on Max.
Luck on Max is definitely worth a watch, even though they had to take it out to pasture.
Yeah, because it was they do have some. It is on Max. You can get it on Max.
That was a good show. It was so much fun.
It was. It was. Yeah. I mean, and they have some quality stuff. Max does do some quality stuff. I was really happy. I was really, really sad that it took so long for get a season two of Tokyo Vice to come out. Because I really liked the first. I don't think you've seen that one. But it took years for us to get a season two. And I didn't think they were going to actually ever do one. So.
Oh, interesting.
Glad that that has changed. But we digress.
Yeah.
We have tangent well away from.
Yeah, because they didn't give us 10 episodes to discuss. So like.
So you only get 7 episodes of content on Winning Time or 70% of the podcast.
70% of our episode is Winning Time season 2. So
we got to fill.
I don't feel guilty about this at all.
Again, it was there was quality there. There was, like I said, like you said, it was good, not great, not excellent. But I don't blame the team doing it. I definitely think this was a top down decision that really drastically affected them. All and they had a scramble and they still put something good out of that scramble. It just wasn't great.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not bad. It's what you get from episodes 1 through 7 are not bad. They're very super watchable. I found myself more endeared towards the character of Kareem in season 2. Because the chaos just continues and he's just the only one that seems to have it together.
Yeah.
And then he softens up quite a bit too. And like kind of gets rid of that gruff exterior, but yeah, I'm just, you know, I'll get over it. I understand how hard these things are to make. And so, and it's all financially motivated, you know, they got to make money. So, and it didn't, it just could never find an audience. You know, I think they looked at those metrics after the first two episodes of season 2 dropped. And it was just like, they had they had lost like 60% of their viewership or something. Nobody came back to it. And I don't know. Well,
and some of us, like, I didn't come back until they had like 4 or 5 episodes already out. Like, it's not.
It goes back to that whole thing. They just need to be bulk dropping 3 episodes at the start of a season to get everybody in. Mm-hmm. You know why they don't like doing that? Because I noticed it. It's the social media stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If you drop three episodes, that's like two less episodes you get to trend on. If you spread a release over, you know, if you have eight episodes over 8 weeks, then you potentially get, you can kind of continue to push the, but who cares? Like,
if you're not dropping the three episodes, you're not getting that buy-in. And so you're not going to get any of that social media coverage at all either. No, people talking about it. Yeah. I mean, I still think Andor dropping three episodes was at the beginning was brilliant. Probably brilliant. The original first season of Ted Lasso dropped three episodes to begin with. Mm-hmm. And so like they had that. So it shows you that sometimes you need to have, not everyone is grabbed with the first episode. Like sometimes you need to have more. And if you don't grab them at the first episode and you have to wait a week, like, do I really want to watch the next episode? Like, or waste my time? Well, that wasn't grabbed at the first one.
You have more competition now for what you want to watch than ever before. So yeah, you got to grab people immediately.
Yep. Yeah. All right. So
any final thoughts? No,
no. I sad that we're not going to get more and sad that this was a truncated season. There was some there. I really enjoyed season one. I mean, I enjoyed the season, but it just, we already talked about that, but yeah.
Well, I appreciate everybody listening to this episode of Cinema A to B. And, if you haven't been on the YouTube channel in a while, drop on over there and, check things out. It's not much different. I mean, it's, if you like to watch our smiling faces to deliver the podcast, it's the best way to do it. I am working on another enhanced episode like we did with Saving Private Ryan. So
yeah,
we're looking for that. That's going to be on Snatch. So working through getting clips on that one. I wish we could do that for all of these, but if this was a full-time gig and, you know, maybe that's what it would be, but this is just a hobby for Alec and I. So once a quarter, we'll drop those enhanced episodes out. But
and by we, he means him, because I'm lazy. And I don't
really, you just give me moral support. Good. An attaboy.
That's very true. I'm like, well done, sir. Well done.
Yeah. Thanks for doing it. But no, we appreciate everybody tuning in and listening. And we'll be back each and every week with a new episode. We strive to record these far out enough that if one of us were to get sick or travel, that we can do it and not skip weeks. That was our intent when we started this over a year ago, hard to believe. And we'll just keep on trucking with some new stuff. So I'm excited about some stuff coming down the pike. But
yeah, it's gonna be good.
Be good.
It's gonna be good.
All right.
Thanks, everybody.